hater. Drinking the Haterade.
What color?
Guess we'll find out today, won't we?
No guesses from you?
Purple.
Ooh. So you think the Chiefs are winning?
I don't know. I'll tell you what I think in a little bit here.
Oh, well, I'm ready when you are. I don't really got much since you took over the realm. Took the helm. You said, get out of here, bro. You flicked me off.
Don't worry, dude. I'm going to pass you the mic. Don't worry.
You don't need to pass me nothing.
He wants me to pass him the mic. He's upset.
Nah.
He's upset.
That's just the unknown for the people.
He's upset.
No, I'm not Drizzy. I'm not upset.
It's all right, dude. They're not like us.
Oh, you think he's singing that today?
I think there might be a riot if he doesn't sing it at some point. He's singing it. It just went. They say he's got a surprise.
Yeah,
he's got a surprise for the halftime show.
I saw someone say Tupac flying in from Cuba.
I saw someone say that boy gonna have Adonis hanging upside down over a vat of acid.
I saw that. I saw one that said he's gonna kill Drizzy live on TV.
Oh man, people have been taking this stuff too seriously. I'll tell you what.
Oh man.
All right. You ready to go?
Yeah.
Hello and welcome back to the Second and Two podcast. I'm your host, TB. Got my co-host. He's not only a producer extraordinaire, he's a scriptwriter, actually.
Oh, no, he does not do this.
He helps write the NFL script every year, dude. And everybody knows it now. Jody, what's up, Joe? Joe, you were expecting to do the episode solo today. You were prepared.
Yeah, I was. I mean, you could get into as that why that was would have possibly been the case. I didn't even write that in my script. I missed the whole point of me being solo off rip. So you can go ahead and talk on that.
Well, over the last month or so, been a lot of change and things happen at the old job, at the old JOB. Because, you know, believe it or not, we're not good enough that this pays the bills. So. Got to have a real J-O-B. I know it's a shocker. But got a nice little promotion, you know? Nice little promotion. Well-earned, I think, I would say. Now the athletic director and the head football coach at Morton ISD. So,
there you go. Man does it all. Coaching, teaching. Man's been a hefty plate the last couple weeks.
So this last week, first week on the job. Quick thoughts, quick learns, quick ideas here. Number one, you are now everyone's favorite person, and everyone wants to meet with you because you now have the power to do things for people. So
yeah.
When that happens, everyone wants their piece of you. So that was a little bit overwhelming, truthfully. Thought I did a good job, at least of trying to give everyone that time. Number two, being an athletic director means all of the problems of everything somehow end up on your plate.
Yeah.
So, for instance, you know, softball field, we got a game. Home softball game in like 9 days. Is our softball field playable right now? No. Am I going to find a way to make it playable before then? I better. You know, things like that.
You got to like cut the grass. You got to, it's all muddy. What's the circumstances?
So it's a shared field with the city and they play Little League on it. So like you got to change the bases. And when they were changed, not all the bases had the base plugs. Also, some of them had like the exposed concrete because the the base, the things that the bases plug into is like cemented into the ground, but some of the cement is exposed and there's like a hole in some chain link fence and a lot of things. Yeah. So just in general, just like a lot of like things to make the surface, playing surface safe. Like we had to order dirt.
Yeah.
You ever had to order dirt before? We had to order dirt. It's not cheap. So yeah, just drinking a lot of water through a fire hose right now on things like that, trying to figure that kind of stuff out. But I mean, so far so good is what I would say. You know, it's kind of like any new job. Like, you know, you get the job and you're like excited, and then that period of excitement kind of goes away because you actually have to learn how to do the job. And then it's that period of like a little bit of anxiety, a little bit of like, I'm uncomfortable, I got to figure this out. You know, it's interesting because same workplace, same people, completely different role, completely different relationships. So it's a little weird that way. It's not like anything I've ever really experienced because, again, you're in the same place, so it should feel like similar, but it really doesn't.
Well, you're now the go-to guy for most people.
Yeah, so different. So, but we're getting there. We're figuring it out as we go, pretending like we know what's going on. And then, you know, the old saying, fake it till you make it. I think that's kind of where I'm at right now. But that being said, wasn't sure if we were going to be able to do this. It's Super Bowl weekend, though. Like, had to do it.
Yeah. This is the last game of the year. Could not go out ending.
Your boy Jody was prepared to do it solo. Hence why he wrote hence why he wrote a script for himself, which I still kind of want to hear parts of this. I'd like to still hear the opening bit here. So I'm going to pass the mic.
To open it how I would have started the episode on my own.
Well, at least like the first thing.
You
only
talk about
first.
James
yeah,
Winston.
Nollins.
So word for word, we got first things first, man. We got some new news. New news, if you know what I mean. And then, you know, I'm just joking. NFL news. Excuse me. We got some news around the league. Oh, that was supposed to be me making fun of the new news. So here we go. Just where my head's at. So some news around the league. So we've seen J-Mo living his best life in Nollins. We've seen him asking questions for I just completely missed the whole line. He was asking questions at the media day. He asked our guy Saquon, "Yo, where do you think I should play next year?" He said, "They need a QB in New York." He said, "Which New York?" Pretty funny. And then the next thing says we've seen him biking around the town. Word to my guy Frank Ocean. And then seen him eating the W on a beignet, talking about how he couldn't eat it because it was too precious. and then I said everything this dude touches turns to gold like Midas, because he's just that funny. Everyone loves him. We appreciate him. Just a genuine dude who is great, great time to hang with, seems like. That was that whole first part. And then I was going to talk about the honors that you got everyone but Joey B, who I had because he needed to win something.
Dude, I almost swept. I was that close. We'll just run down those awards real quick. NFL MVP, maybe the most controversial award of the night, Josh Allen. Did not think it was the wrong choice.
The actual MVP.
Did not think it was the wrong choice. I thought that was right. Thought Lamar made it close. I mean, I made the case. You know, we went through it on the last episode. I would have picked Josh Allen. I see why a lot of people did. It was close, but Josh Allen was the guy this year. Defensive Player of the Year, Pat Surtain. Also the guy I picked there. Offensive Player of the Year, Saquon. Very easy. That was like the easiest one of the night, I thought.
Say quads, if you read that part.
Say quads. The Defensive Rookie of the Year, Jared Verse. Felt like that was a pretty, pretty easy one as well. The real easiest one of the night might have been Offensive Rookie of the Year, and that's just because Jaden Daniels was so good.
JD5, a.k.a. JD7, because of Jack Daniels. I don't know if you got that last week.
I did not, and I did read
and
this
I had that written down.
And, yeah, you're right. I did not get that. And then Kevin O'Connell getting the coach of the year, which I also accurately predicted. Then the last one that, you know, we did not predict, or I didn't, you did, I think, was Joe Burr, Joe Cool, Joe Scheisty, whatever you want to call him. He's Jose Barroze. Joe Burrow.
Comeback player of the year.
Comeback player of the year. Not Sam Darnold, not DeMar Hamlin, not, I don't know if we mentioned any of the other, can't remember the other finalists. Oh, Christian Gonzalez, I think, was the other finalist there. But Joe Burrow, comeback player of the year, the only award I didn't accurately predict. So felt good about that, actually. Feel pretty good. And so that's kind of what happened with NFL honors. Not a lot of surprises, I would say. It's pretty standard. I was a little like unsure who might win MVP. I thought it was close, and it was close, but it was more Josh Allen on the voting. They released the voting, which I don't think the voters
or something.
Yeah, I don't think the voters knew they were going to do that. So it's a little messy, a little crazy. kind of fun. So they did release those votes though, and so we got to see kind of who voted for who. But yeah, Josh Allen won pretty narrowly, but. Yeah, like you said, I think it was 27-23 in terms of first place votes there. So we move on to the Super Bowl here. Obviously, the reason we're here. Yeah, I guess we have to mention the Pro Bowl as a footnote. I mean,
yeah, do you like that?
You called it a snooze fest. Yeah, you called it a snooze fest. I agree. There's a reason I was going to just skip over it. I don't even watch it anymore. I have no idea.
I don't watch it either.
Yeah, I don't even know who won.
Eli
won. Was.
Eli's 3-0 in the flag football. That,
well, maybe that Peyton will get him in the kick of destiny today. okay. The real reason you guys are here for our Super Bowl analysis, or even maybe the, as you said, the free Kendrick concert.
Yep.
And the commercials and the food, of course. Okay. Jody, do you want to set the stage for what this Super Bowl features? And then I'll give us some quick thoughts and analysis.
What do you mean? Like the like headlines that we could see coming out of this game?
Yeah. Or? Yeah. Yeah. You're a big headlines guy. You like the storylines. Give them all to us. Like, what are we looking for in this Super Bowl, dude?
All right. So, I mean, you could start off with the three-peat. As the probably won't be called because apparently Pat Riley has a trademark on that. So
he licensed it to the NFL. He said the NFL could use it.
There you go. If they win,
sure not a cheap price, but he's letting them use it. They paid him something so they can do it.
So they'll have the three-peat coming from the Chiefs. If they win, it'll be depending on what happens. Did you know that our guy Patty Mahomes has had a double-digit deficit in four of his Super Bowl appearances, and obviously he's won three of them. The only one he lost was to Tom Brady.
Yep.
When he was on Tampa Bay. What else do I have over here? I mean, if you go on the flip side, though, the other side, you could see the Eagles winning. They're obviously going to stop the three-peat. It'll be their first Super Bowl in the last 3 years, made it twice. You have probably Saquon going crazy somewhere in there. That's got to be a big factor in my eyes. You could have, it also goes back to the way I saw this playing out too, is if the Eagles win, it's kind of like the year the Patriots went undefeated and then lost to Eli in the Super Bowl. That'd be kind of crazy to see. I don't know, man. It's just, there's a lot of things that could that sway me both ways, and the one I think the most is just entertainment business of the three-peats happening.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I think there's a lot of parallels you can draw between the Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Chiefs, and the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady, Patriots, obviously. Mm-hmm. And people have drawn those parallels, and you know, all the success and everything like that. But, you know, there, and then there's also, again, some comparisons you can draw with the Eagles themselves. You know, the Eagles played those Patriots on their run, and I mean, obviously split up a difference of like 13 years rather than three here. But, you know, beat them once and lost to them once. So, you know, Philly's no stranger to seeing dynasties in the Super Bowl is what we're saying. And they've had some success.
When they played them the second time, it would have been a three-peat had they beat the Eagles in that middle game. Because they beat them, they won, they lost, and then they won.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They beat the Falcons, lost to the Eagles, and then beat the Rams the next year. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Okay, so let's look at some of the big questions here. We'll go through the big questions for each of these teams. Number one, big question for the Chiefs defense, all right? Can they limit the explosive run production of Saquon Barkley? I mean, I feel like a broken record. Every game with the Eagles has kind of been talking about, hey, what can you do with Saquon, right? The Chiefs have had two weeks to prepare for this. In all three playoff games, Saquon has had at least one rush of 17-plus yards. Mm-hmm. You know, we categorize explosives as 12-plus yard runs. So that means he's had at least one, but in multiple games,
had, like,
multiple
touchdowns.
Explosive runs. And at least in the last two, he's had multiple rushes of 60-plus. Many of his yards come from the explosives. Even when teams do a good job of bottling him up for most of the game, you know, it's like, hey, on all the rushes that are on explosive runs, he's only averaging 2 yards a carry, right? Whatever. Mm-hmm. But then all it takes is, hey, two, three explosive runs, and all of a sudden he's almost 200 yards on the day or whatever, and there's not much you can do there. So the Chiefs rank as a top 10 rush defense in every metric, which makes this a real strength-on-strength matchup. In order to stop the explosive runs, they're going to need to keep a two-high shell, though. So this is kind of counterintuitive, right? Because most people think, all right, if we want to stop the run, we need to stack the box, load the line of scrimmage. We talked about this a little bit with Washington. Well, yeah. I mean, but we talked about this a little bit with Washington. If you stack the box and you put eight in the box and you keep one high safety, if they block it upright and Saquon makes the first guy miss and he's second level, there's no one really behind you. There's no one really behind you to make that play now. So now instead of it being like a 15-yard run, it becomes a 60-yard run, right?
Yeah.
And we have a clip of this, you know, what we can show real quick to kind of help make this point. You know, so we talked about this going into the NFC Championship, right? We said, hey, Washington's got to do a good job of, yes, we want to stop the run, but man, it's scary if you really load the box and you only have one high safety, because you're saying that guy's got to beat Saquon in a one-on-one and get him to the ground. How many safeties are doing that right now in the league? It's just not many, right? You gotta kind of get lucky almost. So this is the first play of the game of the NFC Championship for the Philly offense anyway, right? Yeah. So Hurts was gonna check out to something different, and I'm fairly certain that Saquon convinced him to go back to the original play instead of canning it, and they got back under center, run the motion with Devontae Smith. They get the little flip out to Saquon. Number one, the block by A.J. Brown to seal this edge. It's a little pin and then pull action, right, with Goddard and Mailata.
Our guy Taylor Lewan mentioned that. He was like, big block here by whatever his at is. It was funny.
A.J. Brown, man. I mean, it is. It was a big block, right? So you seal a lot, and then the whole O-line is sealing backside. They don't really get up to Bobby Wagner, but it's okay because you have Saquon Barkley. okay, so Mailata gets his block. Bobby Wagner actually kind of gets caught in the wash and falls here. Goddard is just eliminating this DB. So now look at the hole.
Yeah, that's massive.
And all of your bodies that you had to stack the run are all caught up in this. So now this guy ain't making the play, and there's also a receiver who's trying to keep up with him to keep the block. You just have one high safety, and it's Saquon with 5, 10, almost 15 yards of room between him and this one high safety. And that's the only person who could, like, you're giving him a 15 yard. Imagine if we set up a drill where it's like, all right, here's Saquon Barkley 15 yards away. Here's a defender. And here's, like, you know, numbers to the sideline of room. for Saquon to work. I mean, you'd be like, hey, that's an unfair drill. The defender never makes that tackle. Well, boom, miss, miss, make you miss, and bop, 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 gone. 60-yard play right off the rip. There's an explosive. So right away. But again, I admire like the Washington commitment to stop the run. Hey, we're putting, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 in the box, but because it's condensed formation, 6, 7, 8 really in the box, 9 if you're including that one, yeah. But we're going to keep one high safety. Well, that one high safety has to make that tackle right there. Well, and the problem with one high safety
too, though, that starts there.
The problem with one high safety against Saquon in this rushing attack is, yes, you might have some success kind of stopping Saquon runs before they get started, but you're also gambling that essentially you better stop it before it gets started, because if it gets rolling and it gets second level, you're not making that play in the secondary. And that's what happened to Washington. It's what happened to the Rams mm-hmm. a ton. You if your safety, you get one shot, one high safeties get one shot to find the angle. And if they mess it up, it's done. That's it. Mm-hmm. You don't recover in that situation, especially against Saquon Barkley. So in my opinion, the Chiefs would be better served to say, we're going to sit in two high shells. We're not going to give Saquon explosive runs. If it's an 8-yard run and we make the tackle, fine. And you kind of have to live with that. I haven't seen a team with a rushing attack like this where you're actually saying stay in a two high shell to prevent the explosive run, not the explosive pass.
Yeah.
it's actually insane, which is why, you know, it's the combination, though, of that offensive line with that running back. Those two things together, it's like nothing we've seen in the NFL in quite some time. And then obviously you still have like all the pass catchers that kind of make you say, well, okay, we can't just like not play a competent defense that defend, like it's not like they can only run the ball. We have to mm-hmm. still play real defense. So that's the big question for the Chiefs defense, I think. Can you just limit Saquon? Maybe he has 120 yards, but it's not because one of the runs was 60, right? You have to try and limit that.
Let him get 20 something rushes to get that.
Yeah, you make him go the long way to get the 120 yards. Make him go up with 25 rushes, you know, 25 carries or whatever, and try and limit the explosive runs, because this Philly offense in the postseason has lived off of his explosive runs.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, I would say the big question for the Eagles defense is, can they disrupt the rhythm passing game that has kept the Chiefs on schedule all season long? The Chiefs, we know they're one of the worst teams in explosive play rate, but they have been just efficient. They're on time. It's almost back to like the Andy Reid roots of just West Coast offense, get the ball out, get it to your playmakers right now, and keep the rock moving, right? Patrick Mahomes has been very efficient in the postseason. He's 34-51 for 67%. In the two games that they've played, he's averaging 12.4 yards per completion as well, which has generally been from just the timing and rhythm. You know, the first offensive series they had against Buffalo, you watch, he got the ball out. It was snap, 1-2, get it out. Snap, 1-2, get it out. Snap, 1-2, get it out. Snap, 1-2, oh, I don't like it, I'll run. Snap, 1-2, get it out, right? And that's all they did all the way down the field, eventually into a touchdown. The Eagles mostly play too high and split safety looks to help take away some of the explosives. And that's a Fangio staple, right? But they'll need to be sticky underneath. They got to take away completions. Now, they do rank third in the NFL in opponent completion percentage, first and opponent yards per pass. So it's another strength-on-strength matchup here. Mm-hmm. And they're going to have to be very efficient. Like, I wonder how much man Fangio plays today, because – you know, you heard like Kyle Hamilton on Radio Row this week. He was talking about how you play the Chiefs and what you have to do. And he's basically like, if you sit in zone, Patrick Mahomes and those receivers will carve you up. You kind of have to challenge the receivers. Yeah, you have to play man. You have to kind of throw off timing. And you got to make them beat you vertically. And you just got to win your one-on-one matchups. And that's the only way to play them. And then it's still like, hey, you got to limit Mahomes running the ball. You got to keep him caged in the pocket with your pass rush and all of that. So there's so many things, but the Eagles, you know, defensively, they're equipped for that. Can they do it, right? Now, if we go to the offensive side, the big question for the Chiefs offense, can they create 1 to 2 explosive plays that don't have to originate with Patrick Mahomes? We know what he can do extending. We know how he makes plays, but like, can they get something in the run game? Can they get something yard after catch that will,
D-hop,
you know, make it a big time play? And we know how special Mahomes is, but we also know he can't win the game by himself. Most Super Bowls include at least one big play by a role player, right? Could we see an explosive run from Pacheco or a slant that Hollywood Brown takes for 50, right? The Chiefs, they need at least one explosive play from one of those role guys. You know, a couple years ago in the Super Bowl against the Eagles, it was the Kadarius Toney punt return, right? Something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we can go to the tape here and look at in that AFC Championship game. This actually takes, you know, shows both points we're making here. The challenge for Philly in terms of stopping the rhythm passing game, and then also can the Chiefs produce, you know, an explosive play from their passing game that isn't just Mahomes being special. This is that first drive we talked about against Buffalo in the AFC Championship, where Mahomes was doing a very good job of just getting the ball out of his hands. Okay, he sends Travis Kelce in the motion. Number one, this motion takes everyone's eyes and puts it where? Outside. And they see Kelce running the outside release. It kind of frees up just enough when you move this defender. It gives Juju Smith-Schuster just enough space right here, and you know you've got a rotating one-high safety. So you've got to fit that ball between the flat defender, the hook defender, over the top of them, in between them, but not so deep that the safety can make a play either. Get a little kind of RPO action, right? Or play action really is what it was. You see, he looks at Kelce, right? Yeah. He's got Xavier Worthy coming underneath, which holds this backer. Looking at Kelce makes this guy move just a little bit. And now where's the window? It's going to be right on the hash at about 10 yards deep for Juju Smith-Schuster. And look how quick he gets that ball out. He trusts it. He doesn't even see it. He just knows it's going to be open because of the way the defense is playing and the way this play is designed. He gets it to Juju. So that's the rhythm passing part of it that I say Philly's going to struggle to stop because of the way they play defense. They're kind of inviting you to make those throws and be precise and be 100% and get the ball out, right? That's the kind of play Philly invites you to make defensively. And then they're betting on tackling the catch there, right? So that's the challenge on the Philly defense. But then on the Chiefs offense, hey, you complete that pass, but now watch what Juju does when he gets it in his hands.
Yeah.
Right now he turns it into an explosive. And that's something they did. That's something they did a very good job of in this AFC Championship, whether it was Hollywood Brown, Juju Smith, Xavier Worthy, DeAndre Hopkins, Travis Kelce. They have all of those names now and are all healthy. I figured you'd have a comment on the Juju Selly there.
It crossed my mind.
Okay.
It crossed my mind.
I watched
TikTok days, but he kind of just said, ooh.
So I watched that whole game back, especially that first drive, you know?
Yeah.
And Hollywood Brown was doing the same celebration, so it was just kind of fun. That was clearly a thing for them.
Yeah.
Anyway. Up so
or something, I don't know.
Yeah. It was almost like a little dance move. Ooh. But that's the kind of stuff where I'm looking for it, because the Chiefs or the Eagles, at least the way they've played defense historically, are saying you have to be perfect underneath. Get the ball out on time. Be precise, and we'll tackle the catch, which is why they don't, you know, if teams get antsy and they try and go vertical, the Eagles are just prepared. They just play defense so well top down. And they do have a good secondary, obviously, with Slay and Mitchell and DeJean and Blankenship and CJ Gardner-Johnson, right? The exciting whites tandem, all of that. Like, they have a great secondary that plays well top down, and you have to be efficient. Even Zach Bond and when N'Kobe Dean was healthy, dropping into the hook drops, like, they're good athletic linebackers that cover ground. You know, Oren Burks is not maybe the athlete that 17 N'Kobe Dean is, but has played well enough, obviously, in his absence. So even the backers dropping into the hook drops and all of that, like, it's not easy, right? To make those throws against this defense. However, that's what Mahomes has done all year. That's what he's been good at. So I do wonder if Fangio changes a little bit, right? Because, again, you saw some of those receivers making those plays against Buffalo. it's not just Mahomes getting the ball out, but then them turning it into the explosive play. And that's what I mentioned. The Chiefs offense will likely need that because they're not going to probably be able to get the go ball over the top. Those receivers aren't really built that way.
Really?
Maybe. Right.
It finally happens.
So there's a nice little like cat and mouse game there, I would say, between Andy Reid and Vic Fangio, Patrick Mahomes, and that Philly secondary that I'm curious to watch. Now, the last thing I have here, big question for the Eagles offense. Can they incorporate A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith into the playoff success that Saquon Barkley and Dallas Goedert have been having? Obviously, we know what Saquon has done this postseason. He's on the verge of being historic. He needs 168, really 169 rushing yards to have the greatest postseason in NFL history. He would beat out John Riggins' record of 610 postseason rushing yards. He also is not that far. I think he's like 40 yards from having the most total season rushing yards ever, which belongs to Terrell Davis for regular season plus postseason production. So if he gets the 169 yards, he would own the postseason record and the total season record in this one game. So obviously, you know, one of the greatest rushing seasons the NFL has ever seen. We know what he's doing. In addition, then Dallas Goedert been the favorite target for Hurts this postseason. Guy has 15 catches, 188 yards, and a touchdown. And meanwhile, the tandem of A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith have combined for 21 catches, 241 yards, and one touchdown. So the Dallas Goedert production is almost matching the A.J. Brown plus Devontae Smith production this postseason. So the question is, can Jalen Hurts manage to get all of those guys going together in the same game? Because they're going to need more than Saquon to beat Mahomes. And it can't just be Dallas Goedert. Like they're going to need those other dudes to be playmakers, which they are. And you got to get them the ball. So can they do that in this game, right? Those are the big questions that I see going into it. Obviously, special teams always plays a factor. Both of these teams are actually, you know, been pretty good on special teams. You know, we'll see what they can do in the kick return, punt return game. I will say that, you know, if we're lining up field goals and we're wondering, hey, who gives us an edge here? Harrison Butker has been more reliable this year than
Jake the Mate has not been that good.
Especially in the postseason. He had some misses against the Rams. So now that was also in the snow. We're going to be in a dome today. So we'll see what happens with that. but that's something to keep an eye on as well. Just in terms of the special teams matchup. Jody, I know you've got some bets up your sleeve.
Yeah. So
take it in any direction. How do you feel?
Kicking it off with your first question of the Chiefs defense and Saquon explosives, blah, blah, blah. His line for the longest rush on the day is 23.5. So do with that what you will. Pretty high in my opinion, but that's out there. You have you talked about Dallas Goedert more recently before I get to anyone on the Chiefs. His reception line's at 5, receiving's 52.5. His target's at 6. That's kind of, I think he's going to get more target and barely catch all of them basically. But I like Saquon to score, of course. You could even throw Jalen Hurts in there. Though either one of those is probably a solid pick. I have Travis Kelce to score. Sure, why not? I guess that's where I was. DeAndre Hopkins, though, is I think the easiest one. It did not in terms of like I could see it happening, but his line is so low that I feel like they're telling you, hey, this guy is going to be the standout you're talking about with either being Juju or Hollywood Brown. His line is 12.5 receiving yards, which I thought was crazy. I think that means it's finally time for him to go nuts.
His playoff production hasn't been crazy, so that might be why. But yeah. Mahomes is not looking for a guy. He's just who's open. You know, that's how he's played. So if D-Hop is open, he may get that in one catch.
Yeah. So I was like, this seems too low for me not to include this. I have I have Chris Jones. I guess they had him at a quarter of a sack. Yeah, I expect him to hopefully get one at least. If not, he's going to assist with someone. You know what I mean?
All he has to do is get a half sack, and he gets that, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was like, that seems pretty solid to me. Saquon's rushing yards is pretty high. It's like 111. I think that's kind of quite a bit. Since he's been in the playoffs, it's been that high, and I got burned on it a couple times, so I've been staying away. But yeah, in terms of those, that's like the props for like the yards and whatnot. I do like, if you want to get into the more fun ones of, you know, of the Super Bowl antics.
Give us heads
for kicking it off. I'm a heads, okay. Guys. I know a lot of people are saying tails never fails right now. And I was like, you know, the amount of people saying tails, I think heads got to be the answer.
Okay. What's the over under on the anthem this year?
Oh, that's a good question. I did not peek.
Because that's always a fun one. I still remember the Chris Stapleton over under a couple years ago for that Eagles Chiefs one in Arizona. That was a fun one. Obviously, we got Gatorade color.
Yeah,
always a fun one.
So if you think the Chiefs are winning it, they've had purple the last 2 years. So that's why at the top when I said, oh, you think the Chiefs are winning.
Okay.
But if you want the Eagles to win, I think you go yellow. I don't know how true this is, but our guy Landon Dickerson said they're a lemon-lime type team. So.
Okay.
So to do with that information as you will. MVP, this was interesting. I haven't found your answer to that question yet, but it's a three-headed horse. Patty Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, Saquon, and then it drops off to Travis Kelce.
Okay. To
plus 1,200. What else is on that list? There's a lot, and I don't know why I haven't found it. We normally do a pool of like all those combined, you know, what you think the over-under is and all that. So I have an idea, but I don't know where this is.
Okay.
So, hey, bad podcasting on my end. I'm sorry, people.
Yeah. No, I kind of hit you with that out of nowhere. It was really on me. I was just curious because that's always a fun conversation.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a prop on like what Kendrick Lamar's first song for the halftime show will be.
But like I said, I don't know. I'm gonna just have to go to Google and start typing questions.
That's okay. I do kind of want to talk about the game script of this game, how I see the game flowing. I think it's gonna be a lot muddier and more difficult for the offenses than the last version of this Super Bowl. That game had 73 total points. I don't see this one getting over 60. Both defenses are top 10 and have offenses that, while are very talented, have been less consistent than their defenses this year, I would say. The 2 weeks off, you know, always gives the possibility of a slow start. I think the game will take a while to see points, and I see both defenses getting some sack production. I think there's going to be a combined 6 sacks in this game. They both have strong fronts that get after the quarterback. You know, Chris Jones, Jalen Carter being the big names on each front. But then also, you know, Carl Loftus and Nolan Smith. We might see Brandon Graham back in this game. Seems likely for the Eagles. The wily vet, one more game. He's going to give it everything he's got, try and walk out on top. I think third and fourth down conversions are going to be massive plays as the game goes on to extend drives, get points. I think the offenses are talented enough that they'll eventually wake up and produce. It won't be like a, you know, 10-7 type of game, but I think it'll be close and it's going to be played in the 20s on each side.
Yeah, my bad. I was kind of finding the answers to all those questions we had earlier. So I was typing away. You probably hear the click clacking in the background. So, well, we'll go to the national anthem. That was the first question you asked. The line on that is 120.5. So if you think it's longer than 2 minutes.
Okay.
So that'll be, it's sung by John Batiste. Don't know.
I'm going to be honest. Don't know who that is. Yeah. So good for John Batiste.
Yeah, Batiste.
Okay. John, good luck on the national anthem today, buddy.
Now the Kendrick. Kendrick, first song, apparently they're looking at Humble, plus 115. DNA, Not Like Us, plus 210 apiece.
Loyalty. DNA wouldn't be Mad City, man. Go Mad City, Kendrick.
Pyros and Crips. All got along.
All got along. Yeah, you know, team like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, out here.
Yeah.
Okay. I might be kind of excited during this halftime show.
did I ever tell you about Kendrick tickets?
No.
Well, don't matter because they're gone now. I sold them yesterday. Somebody bought them all. I bought four of them. They're all gone.
Okay.
Nice little come up.
Hold on.
Yeah. So we have a coach or player cry in the national anthem.
Sirianni.
Sirianni. Chris Jones, bro. Come on.
Maybe Chris Jones.
You seen all the crying he's been doing recently?
Yeah.
He's got to cry in the national anthem. We got, will anyone leave the game and not return due to a concussion? You have this one.
Oh, that's an ugly prop. I'm going to be honest. I don't like that. I don't like that at all.
The first thing it says, what a creepy bet to place. That's the first line.
Yeah, that's not a, don't bet that.
Hey, but it has plus odds. I'm just saying.
No, dude. Rooting for someone's concussion is the ultimate, grossest thing I've heard. I'm going to root for someone to be concussed so I can get money. That's stupid. Anyway, continue.
CTESPN. They had the Drake curse if the team that he chooses wins. So I guess he went with the Chiefs because it's minus odds. We got how many people will throw a pass. This one's fun. The line's always 2.5, so both QBs and someone else.
You know, Andy Reid generally feels like, and also, you know, Travis, you go back to your Philly special, you know, yeah, there might be one guy on either side that can throw.
Plus 155, I like that, actually. You have number of beers sold, apparently, is the line.
At the game?
Yeah.
Oh, that's got to be in the hundreds.
120K.
120,000.
Yeah.
Beers. How many people are at the game?
So apparently there's 76,468 seats. Now if everyone has two beers, too easy. But that's assuming everyone's of age and then you get into a bunch of other
stuff. Yeah. Wow, that is okay. Interesting. I didn't know. I'm learning things that I didn't know you could even.
And you want to know another one? How many times will we see T Swizzle on the TV? Over under 5.5.
I was just going to say at least 5. And so I guess that would be under if it was just 5. Okay. Interesting. All right. Wow. Okay. I think I'm done with the props. I'm not going to lie. Some of this just
doink,
starts getting into the
classic
weird.
Doink. You have how many times will the chains come out? 1.5.
Oh my God.
That's rare now because they're like, let's take it to the booth. Oh, quick review. First down.
There's too much gambling. I'm just going to say it. There's too much. It's too much. It's too much. Let's go with the final prediction. And I don't think this is a popular one, but I'm actually going to take the Eagles here. 27-24. I think in the end, the Eagles use a combination of the talented front they have to get pressure on Mahomes. If you think about what's the one Super Bowl Mahomes lost?
Tom Brady.
It was when the Bucks went and got, but yes, Brady. But think about the Chiefs scored 9 points in that game. It wasn't really Brady. It was the Bucks defense.
Yeah.
That got after Mahomes, and they got, I think they had 6 sacks in that game, if I remember right. They got after him. There's the famous him throwing a pass horizontally to the ground, you know, all that. And Tampa was able to get after him with 4. That was not a very good Chiefs O-line. This Chiefs O-line is probably the worst one since then. They've got a guard playing left tackle, essentially. Joe Thuney's playing left tackle. And I do think this Eagles front has the goods to get after him. We saw the Rams should have beaten Philly had Jalen Carter not gotten that sack on Matthew Stafford and saved the game. I think this Eagles front is up to the task. I think they're going to get pressure on Mahomes. And then I also just keep going back to their offensive line is so dominant. I think they can keep him off the field enough, just enough to get a win. Winning a three-peat is hard for a reason. There's just a reason. No one's ever done it. I think the Chiefs are going to come really close, but I don't think they get it done. And I feel like this has the feeling of that Eagles-Patriots Super Bowl, you know, 6-7 years ago.
Yeah.
When Philly, it felt like, was a huge underdog. No one really took them seriously in the game. It was like, oh, yeah, Nick Foles and Doug Peterson against Tom Brady and Bill Belichick. And yet they won that game. Or even the Giants won when, like you said, they were like undefeated and the Giants beat them. No, or even the second one against the Giants. So yeah. I get the feeling of like people aren't giving Philly enough juice to win this game. I think people are just expecting it to be a three-peat because that's what's supposed to happen.
Entertainment.
And truthfully, I don't. I think Philly is actually a little bit more talented than KC. The thing that gives you pause is it's Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid and Steve Spagnuolo versus Nick Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. And that just feels like a big mismatch. But if you take the rest of rosters and coaching staff,
a lot better than the Chiefs.
Yes. Yes, the Eagles have a better offensive line. They have better weapons. They have a better running back. Defensively, they have a pretty comparable front. I would say both fronts, like, very good. I wouldn't say one is necessarily better than the other. Backers, pretty close. Philly has a better secondary. You know, maybe you give the edge to the Chiefs in the kicking game, which we talked about a little bit. But for the most part, I think Philly is just a little bit more talented top to bottom on their roster. And also, Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio are as skilled, like, creators of schematics as Steve Spagnuolo and Andy Reid are. And obviously, you know, Sirianni is the kind of the one who, the straw that stirs the drink, I guess, as the head coach. But obviously, I would give the edge there to Andy Reid and all that. But the Chiefs have the edge at the two most important positions in the game, head coach and quarterback, but Philly has the edge everywhere else. And I just kind of think that it's hard to three-peat, man. Like, that's hard. People are discounting just how much of a mental toll and how tough and also slightly lucky you have to get to do this. And I just think I think it's going to be close. But ultimately, I think Philly's talent is going to win.
I'm in the same boat. Personally, I put money on the Eagles, right? I couldn't be the guy to sit here and be like, you know, Chiefs are taking it handedly. Because like you said, on paper, everything points towards the Eagles besides like Sirianni and maybe Jalen Hurts, like you said.
Which, by the way, when you watch the film, a lot of things say Eagles too. It's just that it's no different than every time you thought about, like, I mean, how many Super Bowls the Patriots win where it kind of felt like paper pointed to the other team, right? It kind of felt that way because it's that boogeyman on the other side, you know, it's Tom Brady, or in this case, it's Patrick Mahomes. Now, at the same time, what's weird about it is how many times did the Patriots lose a Super Bowl that it really felt like they should win? We just mentioned both games against the Giants, the game against the Eagles. And so, I don't know, it kind of feels like the Chiefs have to lose one eventually. Maybe I'm playing the odds here.
Speaking of that, I had that written in my script. Patty Mahomes has been to nothing but an AFC conference championship 7 years in a row. That's the worst he'll do in a year. That kind of ties back to where I'm looking. I'm going to tell y'all, I think the Chiefs are winning. That's the entertainment business. That's just the headline you want to see. You know what I mean? The thing is going to say, boom, look at us. But I have money on the Eagles because I don't want to be the guy to get that wrong. You know what I mean?
Okay.
I know it might sound very dumb where I'm saying I'm going to tell you guys I think the Chiefs are winning because there's no – it's like the Doctor Strange and looking at all these options. He's not losing. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about? He's got the
– Yes.
So I just can't see the Chiefs losing, but –
But you put money on the Eagles. You can see it happening. You wouldn't put money on the Eagles if you didn't think it could happen. Otherwise, you're just throwing your money away. There's no way you're doing that.
It was plus odds. It looked nice. It goes back to what I'm saying right now. There's no reason for me not to choose the Eagles besides I think that it's somewhat rigged. And that I also think the three-peat.
You don't actually think it's rigged. You don't actually think it's rigged.
Did you hear? Okay. Did you hear the?
I don't want to hear the Travis conspiracy Kelce theory. I don't want
to
hear
that question to Travis Kelce. He said, "What do you like more, Taylor Swift or Phantom? Phantom repping the passer call."
Yeah, that guy. Which, by the way, that guy, whatever, however he got his Super Bowl media credential this year, probably doesn't get it next year. You know, he's not a serious media member. He's just wasted to ask those questions. I hope it was worth it. But anyway, I think we end the year. I really won. I want to see the Eagles win.
Of course.
I don't believe it being rigged. I don't even care who wins. I'm not doing this because I want to see Philly win or I don't want to see the three-peat. Truthfully, the last team to win a Super Bowl.
That's the reason I want the Chiefs to win. I want to see history.
The last team to win a Super Bowl that wasn't the Chiefs was the Rams. So, I mean, I wouldn't even mind if the Chiefs win and stays that way, you know? But the reality is anytime my team isn't playing in the game, of course I'm rooting for a good game. Of course, that's always a big part of it. But also, I don't really have I'd like to see this team or that team win. I don't necessarily share the hatred for the Chiefs that I think some people are starting to get on. I just think, objectively looking at it, analyzing it, I see a lot of advantages for the Eagles.
Yeah.
And I also just think the reality of three-peating is much harder than people are giving it credit for.
That's why it's never been done. That's why I said I'd want to see history, honestly. But I also don't want to miss out on the Eagles winning because then it's like I should have known the Eagles were going to win. It goes back to when we talked about the Giants and then the Eagles earlier.
I think some people are like, well, okay, what's the difference between this game and the game 2 years ago? Jalen Hurts couldn't get it done, blah, blah. Dude, Saquon.
Kelce. Yeah, Saquon too.
Saquon. That's the difference, I think. Saquon in this game will be the difference and why Philly wins. I'm at that point. I think Saquon's that good that he tilts this game in Philly's favor. I think it'll be a great game. Like I said, I think it'll be kind of a slog at times. I think the offenses will struggle more than they did in the game 2 years ago. I think it's played in the 20s. And like I said, I actually predicted this game 100% right 2 years ago. I got the exact right score and all of that. This year, I'm hoping to do it again. I've got Eagles 27, Chiefs 24. And, you know, hopefully you enjoy the Super Bowl, everybody.
You be doing some
No, probably not. Just hang out and watch the game, dude. I'm not a gambling. You know, I don't do that stuff. I don't play with money like that, bro. You know?
Yeah, I feel it.
It's fun. It's fun for other people. I get it. I'm not the one sitting here saying I put money on the Eagles, but I think the Chiefs are inevitable. Like, I don't know how that's fun. It's fun for you.
Thanos words.
I think we'll get this thing out to y'all, and we'll be back. I don't know when we'll be back. I make no guarantees with this new job. I might be tied up a lot, but we're going to try and do our NFL draft analysis. I'm sure that'll be the next thing we move on to, which I'm always very excited for. So, and this draft is loaded at some positions. So very excited to do some D-line, some running backs. We're going to have some dudes this year in those groups. So we'll get to it. But until then, enjoy the Super Bowl and let our guy...
Kendrick concert.
Yeah, and the Kendrick concert. And let our guy take us out.
Ray Ray.
Ray Ray.
It's just different. That's how I'm feeling, man. Look. This sounds special, Tony. I ain't about to go in front of pony. I'ma show you just how bad I want it. Hear the passion, I promise I know this is my moment. I've been working, I've been putting music online. I've been patient, but I'm sitting on a gold mine. Gold mine, I had it since I'd have known time. Gotta rewind to understand my punchlines. In the past, I was overlooked, usually. Been the underdog player, this ain't nothing new to me. I can see the competition worry, so they stop and listen. I promise ain't no politicking with the opposition. This is something different, I'm something you've never seen. writing lines and touching minds with every stream. 6 feet, bury beats to say hello and Apollo. I promise I'll be the hardest act to follow. Make way for the chosen one. Listen to the passion, man, he on the sun. One's up in the air if you know some. Better tell him, make way for the chosen one. Make way for the chosen one. Listen to the passion, man, he on the sun. One's up in the air if you know some. Better tell him, make way for the chosen one. Back home and the vision got them all dripping. I see the change, let me break it down, sit and listen. See where I'm from, they don't make it to the finish line. They have a dream, but they give up on it every time. So when they see me, they don't treat me like they used to. Probably cause they witnessing something that they ain't used to. I am not the usual, I am an anomaly. I'm just trying to multiply my paper like Monopoly. Code us out probably, will he make it possibly? Honestly, I'm tripping, man, name somebody that's stopping me. This already written, I'm just living on my prophecy. Regardless of what happened here tonight, I'll still be popping B. Man, I did this on my own too. Put myself in this position on my own too. You know who you are, I don't need to expose you. I'm looking at everybody who got it like I told you. Woo. Make way for the chosen one. Listen to the passion, man, he on the sun. One's up in the air if you notice him. Better tell him, make way for the chosen one. Make way for the chosen one. Listen to the passion, man, he on the sun. One's up in the air if you notice him. Better tell him, make way for the chosen one.